It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He takes it off the middle, and he's wrapped up from behind. Max Crosby.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years.
Open to the 35, racing to the 20, 10, touchdown Raiders.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Yes, I am here on Friday, and you are with me. Welcome into the flagship of the Silver and Black Raider Nation Radio, 920 in Vegas, on the Raiders mobile app and on our YouTube page, where we are vibrant and going over 5,000 subscribers today. Please subscribe and jump in. Watch the show. See what we're doing here. It's the best way to do it now, other than listening on the radio, because most people don't listen on the radio much anymore. Luckily, we have a vibrant stream and a big stream. And I listen to radio every day, but YouTube is where we're going. At least I'm going. JT the Brick YT. It's free. You subscribe, you see me, and you can see and talk to us during the breaks and get in our chat as we get rolling today. So we just got devastating news 20 minutes ago that Devontae Adams and Max Crosby will not play Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. So that changes everything for the show today. On Friday, I like to keep it a little bit loose, talk about the weekend, the parties, this and that, little entertainment, you know, replay some interviews I like to do, Rich Gannon, the coach, all of that now. We might play Gannon because Gannon talked a lot about what the team needs to do, but everything changed for us in the last 20 minutes. We found out that Max can't go with an ankle. Devontae's got a hamstring. Thayer Mumford is out. Oh, nothing. He's the starting right tackle, one of the most important positions. Divine Diablo is out. Michael Mayer is out for personal reasons. You'll hear the coach. It's none of our business. It's personal reasons. He's out. He's not able to play. Dekamian Richardson has a hamstring. So what's changed in the last half hour, and I got word of this morning. I found out this morning, and I was not going to go to Twitter or X before the coach met the media. So when I found out first that Max wasn't going and Devontae, I was like, oh boy, that's not good. But then I know, because I've been talking all week, that Cleveland is injured as much. Now, Cleveland was injured clearly more than the Raiders until Antonio Pierce told us that the stars are out and a lot of the big names are out for the Raiders. Now the Raiders, as far as I can tell from doing my homework, have more significant injuries than the Browns, and the Browns have a lot of significant injuries. So we can go one of two ways with this. As I already warned our friends on YouTube, I'm not the guy to bring your negativity crap to today. I'm not the guy. You don't want to go there with me. I'm not a quitter. I don't throw in the towel. I don't whine. I don't complain. And I've been dealing with some of those dudes, if you know what I'm saying. A bunch of quitters, a bunch of people bailing, and it's really gross, actually it is. It's really terrible. Everybody has a right to an opinion. Come on, I'm in the opinion business. I actually like your opinions, but I'm not into this. We suck. We have no chance. There's plenty of podcasts that'll do that. There's plenty of people that you can have a misery lunch at a bar with and tell you how bad your life is because the Raiders have injuries. This is not the show for that. But if the injuries mount and some go on IR and players are not here because they can't play and the Raiders can't dig out of this, it's going to pretty much dominate my show going forward. So I choose today to be not a breath of fresh air, because I'm never a breath of fresh air. No. Believe me, the last thing people say about me is I'm a breath of fresh air. But what I'm going to tell you today is that this is why you come to me on a day, because I'm going to put together what I think is a formula on how they can win the game. Now, if Cleveland was at absolute full strength, if they had their original offensive line and Joku the tight end, if they didn't have the injuries that they've had, then I'd be sitting here saying, you know, it's not looking good, but the Raiders are going to need this, that, and you'd probably listen and go, what is he talking about? What is he talking about? And, you know, it's amazing that people think, you know, because I want the Raiders to win, and I work for the team, that this is some type of spin. A spin? I've never decided the outcome of a game. All right, I've never sat in a coach's meeting. I don't lift weights with the players. Give me a break. I'm trying to see if the team can win games, and if they don't, I'm the first guy on the air after they lose, and I think that puts me on a platform bigger than anyone in Raider history in the media, because I'm on the front line after the game, and a lot of people aren't. And it comes right at me like a tsunami moments after the game. And I'm hoping that the Raiders win this game, because I think the Raiders have enough to put together a game plan and win this game. Because of Cleveland's injuries. We all know the Raider injuries, and they're devastating, and they're massive, and they're big. Especially when your captains can't come out and take the field. Marcus Epps is gone for the year. Do we forget about that? No, we didn't forget about him. Malcolm Kuntz is gone. If you would have told me in Costa Mesa that week four against Cleveland, there'd be no Max Crosby, Malcolm Kuntz, Marcus Epps, Davante Adams, Divine Diablo, and Michael Mayer, six starters, if you told me that, I'd be like, whoa, what happened? Like, what went wrong? So I'm looking at it just like you. I'm almost in shock that this many players are hurt, but this is the league. The league is injured. The league is upside down. This is the ultimate next man up scenario in sports and in life. Life is much more important than sports, okay? So in your world, in your life, not your job, maybe you have to step up. And you have to step up in a big way because it's a life-threatening situation or it's something big, and you would chosen to step up. It's your turn. You would all step up. You would all do it. You wouldn't run from it. You wouldn't hide. You wouldn't dive in the bottle and go under the pillow and say, I can't do it. You would step up. That's life. That's much more important than sports. So today, I want to remind everybody that we're dealing with sports, entertainment. Okay, every Raider fan wants to win more than any fan base I've ever seen. And you know that this is going to be a tough one. So let's talk about how the Raiders win this game. Who do the Raiders have that can help win this game? Jacoby Myers goes to the one from the two. Trey Tucker goes from the three to the two. DJ Turner comes in, who's a good player, and he can make some plays on the outside. He's a speed guy, and they have Brock Bowers. Remember everybody freaking out at the draft? Why'd we take a tight end? Oh, really? Oh, really? How about for this situation? Why did we take a tight end? How about now? You have arguably the best tight end to ever play college football ready to go. He can dominate a game with Jacoby Myers and Trey Tucker. You got three guys in every route and four, but you got Jacoby, Bowers, and Trey Tucker running routes. And you have Zamir White. Ooh, I'm not going to forget about him. Now, the running game, because Devontae's out and Michael Mayer's out, is going to have to really play well in this game. And they've been a no-show. They've been dead on arrival. No one even knows them. They don't even talk about them, mention them on ESPN Fox. They have got to play with pride. They have to play with aggression, and they got to run the ball because my philosophy changed from Wednesday to Friday on the game plan and how they're going to have this game plan here. I was all into four wide. We can't go four wide. We don't have Devontae. Okay, we don't have Devontae. Okay, so the offense, fortunately, has still a lot of playmakers, guys that can catch the ball, guys that can play well. Now, I want to get to Gardner Minshew. Deshaun Watson this week in front of the Browns media said that he doesn't run. Everyone said, what? What do you mean you don't run? And he was arrogant, and he said to the media, I'm a quarterback, not a running back. Well, Gardner Minshew now has to become a running back. That's the focus of my monologue brought to you by Golden Entertainment. They own the Strat. Tonight I will be the MC for a short period of time to kick off their ALS Food is Art event as we try to raise money for ALS and all the people who are suffering through that terrible disease. So I'll be at the pool at the Strat at 7 o'clock before I go to the Biletnikoff Crab Fest, which is like Raider prom tonight, which a lot of Raider people are going to be together, which is good because the Modelo's better be flowing and the Tito's are going to be flowing and we got to get our game face on. Okay, so Minshew now has to take over the game and he has to go win the game. Are we good with that? Okay, I got to get this into my, are we good with this? This is all I got. Minshew now has to become a missile running the football. I'm not talking about a pocket breaks down. Oh, my God, Myles Garrett, he falls forward for 2 yards. No. I need about 45 to 50 yards out of Minshew. I need an 18-yard run. I need a 14-yard run. I need an 8. That's when I got to get that, or I don't think the Raiders will have a good chance to win. Minshew has got to become a detailed, focused runner, along with being a mobile quarterback and a pocket passer. So I don't know what the player prop is. I don't even think they have him. But I would take the Gardner Minshew over on yards, because if he isn't running, I mean seriously running when the pocket breaks down and takes off, Raiders are going to be in a tough position. Number two, now defensively, there's no Max Crosby. Max Crosby is the absolute leader of this franchise. Do you hear what I said? Offense, defense, he's the leader. Max will be on the sidelines, not able to perform because he's injured. He will have the team fired up. Max will be standing next to the coach. His body language will be electric. He will have the crowd going. He will have everybody there, I can promise you. When it comes to this offensive line, they need to have a come-to-Jesus moment, as we say. They have to look in the mirror and come out of there and say, we don't have Devontae and Max. Everybody's looking at us like we are underachieving, which is true. We have not stepped up to do our job to the level we can, and the offensive line's going to have a big day. Now, with all the players who aren't on Cleveland's offensive line, they're missing two starters and a backup. So they got a third stringer in, and they got backups. That's a big deal for the Raiders. But the Raiders don't have Divine Diablo. So earlier in the week, I called on Nate Hobbs and Jack Jones to have big games. They might have to tackle behind the line of scrimmage, and they might have to get a sack. We're definitely going to need a sack in this game from a corner or safety. Trayvon Merrick and Isaiah Polamalu have got to have big games because they're going up against Amari Cooper and Jerry Jeudy. And with Marcus Epps out and no Malcolm Kuntz and no Max Crosby, Amari Cooper and Jerry Jeudy are licking their chops saying, get me the ball. Did you see the way the Raiders didn't tackle against Carolina? If Amari Cooper runs an in route on a slant and gets it, he's gone. Same thing with Jerry Jeudy. So the tackling is going to be at a premium here. When you think of Amari Gaynor, and I think of Luke Masterson, I go back to one of the greatest fans in Raider history, Raider Mort, who says, look, we got a bunch of guys. They're just a bunch of guys. Well, if you can't elevate your game in this game, you don't belong with the Raiders long term. Because Tom Telesco's got to build, and this isn't a rebuild at all. They got Devontae Adams, Max Crosby. You know, they got guys who are great, who are future Hall of Famers. There's no rebuild. Raiders want to get to 2-2. And Tom Telesco in the offseason, he'll figure out how to bring more players in. Tom's got to bring in some players now, obviously. But the issue becomes, if you can't come off the practice squad, if you can't come off the bench and elevate your game, you don't need to be here anymore. I just said it. And I'm not a player, and I rarely go there. If you get put in this situation in this game and you're asked to perform because you're substituting for Max Crosby and Divine Diablo and Marcus Epps, and you can't prove that you can play, you're on your way out. Maybe not this week, but eventually we got to get better players than those guys. So I need elevation. We need people to elevate. We need players to step up and play, as I tweeted out before I knew Devontae and Max were out, I put out a tweet saying everybody has to have a career game. Little did I know right after that, as it was flying to the Twitterverse, my tweets, God, if I could take back half my tweets, I'd take back three quarters of them. And basically, it's time to play. It is. What's the purpose of having a practice squad? What's the purpose of making the 53-man roster and not starting and you get called to start and you can't do it? You got to do it. And I think the Raiders are going to do it. I really do. I think the Raiders will step up and do this. So, we got Chris Matthews, the Dean of the Newsmen, at the bottom of the hour. And then I don't have much after that other than me going off for 2 hours before my bucket of Modelo's is dripping wet at home on ice. I'm getting in the pool. I'm enjoying the hell out of this weekend. Got a great bunch of friends in town, Raider fans coming in. I am not going to be the leader of the misery index. I am not going to get under my covers and shut the door and tell my wife to wake me up an hour before the Biletnikoff event tonight and go in as a mope. I'm no mope. I ain't going in there. I'm going in as a leader. Gonna hang out with the Plunkets tonight. Gonna see some legends. Morris Bradshaw's in town. Friends of mine. We're not gonna sit around and quiet. Oh my God, what's going on? Oh my God. Oh, none of that. I'm hanging out with the greatest legends in Raider history tonight. They won most of their games. They had like a 75% winning percentage. You think they cared about week four? Oh, we got a couple of guys injured? Give me a break. Got an opportunity to elevate this team and do your job as a fan. At least pretend that you think they can win the game, and then we'll deal with it Sunday night into Monday. But this is a winnable game. This is a winnable game. The Raiders just got a lot of bad news moments ago. How are you going to handle it? Okay, and for those, oh, you don't get it. No, I don't want to be with you. I don't want to be with the miserable people who think on a Friday at 12:15 the game's over by 4 o'clock on Sunday. You're not in my life. You're not around me. I don't hang out with you. I do a radio show, and I try to generate positivity until there's no more positivity. And then I talk about LeBron, and I talk about, you know, the Bills. And the Yankees, my Yankees, oh, God bless, my Yankees, the one seed. So I'm going to do my part today. Let's hear from you at 702-365-9200. Let's get some fans who think the team can win. Let's get those people on the flagship of the radio station, the radio station flagship of the actual team. Okay, because the flagship of the Browns and the Broncos and the Chargers make fun of you, mock you. They think you're losers. I think you're winners. You put me in this seat. You gave me this incredible life. You give me the opportunity to do what I do for a living. So I choose to not say the Raiders are going to win 41-10. I don't choose to do that today. But I choose to say that I think the Raiders with their players can go back and forth and beat the Browns. And that's it. We have got to find a way to play pissed off, angry, and violent. If you're a substitute and you're coming in the game, you have to play pissed off, angry, and violent. You have to perform at the highest level as a professional football player who plays in the NFL. Other guys on the other team shouldn't be that much better than you. Do you get it? Their backup offensive linemen shouldn't be better than our starting offensive linemen. Okay? Their wide receivers shouldn't be better than Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, and Brock Bowers. They shouldn't be. Their team doesn't have a kicker and a punter who might win this game. A.J. Cole is a captain on this team. I hope he hears this. A.J. Cole better go win this game.
AP,
I need a cautions corner. I need some plays. I need something to go down. So I need something big to happen. Okay? So everybody get ready. I'm going to play a portion of Antonio Pierce right now, which I was able to see and hear as I was driving into the studio, and we saw the news. This is what the coach of the Raiders said moments ago.
Curious, and what you learned about your team this week watching them respond to last Sunday?
Character. That's what we talked about this week. You know, the true character comes out through adversity, through hardship, and humble. You know, I think we all understand, you know, you gotta always give your best. Not that we didn't, but it's always, it's going to be at the forefront. And when there's anything that's lacking details or lacking something, they get exposed. I think it was good, you know, obviously a good wake-up call. Don't want to have a wake-up call, but it was. And it's how you respond. So character is a big word for us this week.
At all points of your life, you've been known as a leader. This is your leadership skills, you know, right here. Not to say that it's under the test or anything like that, but that's leadership is a big part of this.
Yes.
How do you feel you're responding to it and getting this team, help navigating this team through these drops?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all going through it. I mean, it's my first time going through that situation as a head coach, right? Kind of disappointing. But, you know, like everything else, we talk about 24-hour rule for the players. You got to be 24-hour rule for the coach. And then there's a new opponent, right? There's a new objective this week, and it's the Cleveland Browns at home, another great opportunity for us. And when I say words to players, when I talk about character, for example, I'm talking to myself as well. And then how do I handle adversity? How do I handle these situations that, you know, you didn't quite see? So you go back, you reflect, you get it, you move on, and you you set it forward. And every week is not the same week. There's always different things and different obstacles that you got to go through. So that's really a big part of it. Like you said, my leadership, getting these guys going, get them ready to play, and make sure we put out a good product on the field.
What's the expectation for Max Crosby to play on Sunday?
He'll be out.
Devontae Adams?
Out.
Michael Mayer?
Out.
Going back to that, this is no disrespect to Cleveland, and I don't mean it that way, but is this game more to you about the Raiders than the Browns?
Be honest, every game. I said that last week against Carolina, and I didn't mean that disrespectful when I say that. It's always about us, right? We always got to worry about ourselves. We don't worry about who's not playing for the other team, what issues they're going through. We have our own, as I just announced right now. It's about us getting better and getting the best 11 out there and getting the best team ready, prepared to execute in situational football, end of half, in the game, and to play a full, you know, game with the effort and the passion that we've displayed.
You just mentioned, you know, two of your best players are not going to be in this game, Michael Mayer, young tight end. Opportunity for some younger players, other players to step up. And
we're excited about it. I mean, you know, great opportunity. Harrison Bryant, right? Shanker, Brock Bowers. Feel good about those three. And then, you know, talked about Devontae, but, you know, you got, you know, Jacoby Myers, who we really feel good about. And obviously, you know, in most teams, he'll be their number one. And it's a great opportunity for him to go and show that as well. But collectively, nobody needs to be Devontae Adams. I don't need another Devontae. There's only one, right? I just need the best version of Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, CJ Turner, and the rest of those receivers.
Is there any sense on Devontae in terms of what happened with the hamstring, about how long that might be?
I don't know. I just know he's out for this week. But, you know, he's kind of like Max. You know, you got to get those guys week to week. You can never, really day to day, you never know how they respond. They've been doing this a long time in their career, but I just know for this week he'll be out.
Did it happen yesterday at practice?
Yes.
You had a couple other guys that you hadn't practiced a week, Devontae Diablo and Thayer Munford. Are they also good?
They'll be out.
Coach, what are some of the biggest differences between motivating a group of guys as a player versus as a head coach that you've noticed?
Everybody's different. I mean, I don't talk to the quarterbacks like I talk to linebackers, right? But the message to the team is that of team and what, you know, what our thought process is. Again, the mindset this week was character, being a pro, you know, having another opportunity at home. We really want to take advantage of that. I believe the crowd will come through. I know they were disappointed just like we were, but we expect them to come through strong and be loud and Raider Nation to show up. But, you know, as a player, you probably get more into the face, like right here, eye to eye. And as a team, you got to look at the big picture. And you can't overreact. And I don't think I really do that. I'm more straightforward and direct. They understand that. And then we just move on. It's nothing personal. It's strictly nothing personal. And they do the same thing to me, right? They call me out if AP, you ain't the same today. What's up with you? So that's a good part about it. I think just the lines of communication, having those open throughout the week, especially in times like this when we're getting poked at from the outsiders trying to, you know, put us against one another, and that's not going to happen.
There's that cliche, you know, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. But what goes into actually pulling it off for some of these guys that, you know, had a couple injuries the last couple of days and maybe weren't expecting to start at the beginning of the week that might have to step up now?
I think, you know, obviously the Devontae one, that just happened. That's more recent. But, you know, you do have a lot of reps in practice where you give a player – a rep or two that made that Devontae doesn't need to be in on that series, correct, or on that play in particular. So I think that's the biggest thing. I think Edgar Bennett and a lot of our coaches do a good job of keeping the players next to him. You hear this word, especially in training camp, but those mental reps. We do a lot of things developmental throughout the practice to give guys opportunities. You know, our scout team is not a look team. We actually compete, and we try to mirror as best we can to what the defense or the offense wants us to give, but staying within our technique and scheme. So there's a lot of teaching that goes on throughout. A big part of our early morning portions in the morning is getting our developmental group of guys that are not active or on a practice squad opportunities to get with the coaches and get more coached up, right? So we do a good job of that. So we'll see what happens on come Sunday. But we really feel, you know, giving these guys the last, you know, 12 hours and now, you know, today and tomorrow to get ready for the game.
All right, so that's a portion of his press conference. You got the big part of it. Devontae Adams will not play. Michael Mayer, Max Crosby, Divine Diablo. There's a bunch of starters are out. Malcolm Kuntz gone for the year with Marcus Epps. I don't recall a time I don't recall a time ever in my career, 27 years sitting behind a microphone, where this many starters were out by week four. I don't. So we'll see. We'll see how they're able to get through this. There are good players. He said something pretty important there at the end, that these aren't guys that on the practice squad that look. They actually participate, and they're ready to go. So when we see what's happening now, I think a lot of the energy of the fans should be not blanket and moaning about the offensive coordinator, not complaining about last week's game. It's to try to find a way to get to 2-2. If the Raiders are able to pull this game out and they get to 2-2, it's going to be special, considering what this injury report looks like. I think they can get there, and I've been assuming all week. I didn't know Devontae would be out. I sensed Max was not going to be able to go. But now with Devontae out and Michael Mayer, something happening personally, I don't know what the situation is. This team has got to prove the brotherhood, and the entire locker room has to have a moment, and it has to happen now. This season is not on the brink. Some fans think it is, but this season is at an early crossroads, a very early crossroads, to get to 2-2 and be right in the middle of the pack with everybody who's just as injured, hurt, leagues upside down, or to go to 1-3, where a lot of teams will be 1-3, and it won't be looking good for a wild card or a playoff berth. That's what's at stake in this game. They know it. I just said it. You know it. So let's see what we can get out of this today. 702-365-9200. Jump on in. 702-365-9200. Chris Matthews will join us coming up. Hey, man, we need the fighting spirit of Modelo, don't we? The number one beer in America. Modelo and the Black Hole. They're going to have a big weekend again. Go to theblackhole.com to see all their events. I think Raider Nation needs to come together, get some positivity going, and find a way to beat the dog pound in the Cleveland Browns.
Man, I think that's a combination of a lot of things, you know. They had some good calls on our third downs this week where our primary was covered and, you know, had to move on and didn't execute well enough there. So hats off to them. And then, you know, we just got to, you know, make plays, keep us on the field. We got to make these plays come alive, make them work. And that starts with me. And I got to do a better job of keeping us on the field.
Yeah, I think this is a big Gardner Minshew game. It's going to have to be a massive Gardner Minshew game, which we've seen a fourth quarter in Baltimore. That's about it. So there's a lot of pressure on Gardner. He deserves that pressure. He beat out Aiden O'Connell. That isn't a lifetime job. If he doesn't play well against the Browns, I don't think he'll be starting anymore. That's the way I see it. So, yeah, is that a heavy load for Gardner? Yeah, he's getting paid a lot of money. He's got to go beat the Browns. Chris Matthews joins us, the Dean of the Newsmen. Chris, I might need some therapy from you to get me to 2 o'clock with all these Raider injuries. What happened today at that press conference?
Boy, I'll tell you what, it's crazy when you know they ask Antonio Pierce, hey, how's the situation with Crosby? He's out. How's the situation with Devontae Adams? He's out. How about the personal thing with Michael Mayer? He's out. It's like, whoa, that's a big, big blow. I mean, but you know what I loved about Antonio Pierce? He came right back and said, like to Tyree Wilson, these guys will have to fill in. You know, don't try to be a Superman. Don't put a cape on. Go out there and be who you are, and don't be a hero. Just do your job. And I really like that from what Antonio Pierce said, because, you know what, yeah, just go do your job. If these players would have just done their job last week, they might have had a different outcome with that game. But it's going to be really, really interesting to see who just does their job on Sunday against the Browns, because, you know, like you do, I just heard you talking about Minshew. It's not like Watson's lighting the world on fire either. So there's an opportunity for the Raiders in a big, big, important game coming up on Sunday.
Chris, you nailed it. This Cleveland team is also decimated. Their injury report was longer than the Raiders until today, when we found out that Michael Mayer and especially Devontae Adams won't be able to go. Divine Diablo. And as you know, there's no Malcolm Kuntz, and Marcus Epps is gone for the year. So the Raiders, their depth is being challenged very early in the season. That's why you have a practice squad and backups that have to play great in this game, because it feels more of a must-win game than any I've seen in a while in a week four.
Yeah, when you take out a Max Crosby, I mean, we all know he's one of the best players, if not probably the best player on defense in the league right now. Before he goes out, he was just having a terrific year he was hurt last week, so you just throw that one out. But against the Ravens, he was absolutely dominating. He got the sacks, the tackles, the loss for tackles. I mean, the guy was just unbelievable in there. So you take him out, then you got Tyree Wilson's who have to step up. You know what I'm really impressed with, though, JT, is and he's like an old school guy. Yeah, you talk about Antonio Pierce and what he likes about the whole Raider image is a guy like Robert Spillane. Yeah. The guy just continues to work hard, puts up numbers, 11 tackles last week. You know, he's just one of four guys in the entire NFL through the first 3 weeks that's averaged 10 or more tackles per game. So this guy, you know, he'll step up and he'll be a factor, but you mentioned those other guys, they got to really step up. And like Coach said, just do your job. Go out there. You know, if you set the edge, do that. If it's dropping back, do that. Inside stunts, do that. Just do your job. And he says, you know, if enough people do that, we'll be okay.
Chris Matthews joins us from 8 News Now. And Chris, one more on the Raiders and their ability to play big. They haven't had a running game at all. And eventually they're going to get the running game going. Eventually, every NFL team finally figures it out. But this is, you know, being dead last is one thing. Maybe this is the game now where Zamir White has that moment where he can carry the team 110, 120 yards. Doesn't look like it the way the offensive line played, but they're really going to need Madison and his experience and the young Zamir White to have a big game. And I'm not talking about ball control. I'm talking about significant yards on the ground.
Yeah, they got to do something. It's almost eye-popping when you look at the numbers through three games. They have 153 total yards. That's total yards. 55 attempts, that's a league low. In fact, I was looking, the longest rushing yard from scrimmage for the Raiders is 12 yards. That's the longest run they've had. Dallas has got to feel bad because they're tied with the Raiders, but that is unbelievable. They're averaging nearly almost 3 yards a carry, 2.8 I think it was, but I was looking at those numbers. I'm thinking, wow, it's kind of even worse than I thought it was. So they got to get something going, whether it's Zamir White or Madison or somebody out there. They got to open up some holes to get this running game going. That offensive line's got at least work a little harder, right?
Yeah, they got to work a lot harder. Chris, as we wrap it up, I wanted to see your coverage because I watched it, and you know as many people in this town, and you're an authority to a lot of people to come to breaking news. This UNLV story, I reached out to a lot of big-time boosters and former players here. This is bizarre. I mean, it's like he said, she said. Was he offered $100,000 or not? You got to pay your quarterback something. I mean, you can't have a program. You can't have a D1 quarterback in a program that wants to win without paying a quarterback during NIL. That's just fact, not fiction. But then again, maybe the quarterback heard something differently because this head coach, Barry Odom, is a man of character and held in high regard, and he wouldn't offer something and take it back. So what are you sensing happened here?
That's how I really have a hard time believing that a coach made a $100,000 commitment right to his face. I mean, there could have been some, hey, we'll get you some money. Well, whatever kind of conversations there were with the assistant coach, the offensive coordinator, apparently is what we're hearing, that he made this $100,000. I have a real hard time that a guy coming from Holy Cross was offered $100,000 straight up to come out here and play on the NIL deal. Like you said, Barry Odom is one of the most high-class guys you'll ever meet. Everything would have gone through him. Nothing went through him. There was no contract signed. And we wouldn't even be having this conversation if the team was 1-2 or 0-3 right now. And this agent, I just have a real hard time believing. And it's, like you said, it's a he said kind of deal. No one's going to really know because there was no contract. There's nothing in writing. But I have a real, real hard time believing that they made a $100,000 commitment to a guy from Holy Cross to come across the country and play quarterback. And now remember, he wasn't named the starting quarterback until the final, like, 3 days of camp, because that's how tight it was. You got this backup, this Haj Malik Williams, who is basically a better passer. But you got these two guys that were battling in camp all season long. They named a starter right at the end. So they got two talented guys working 1-2 there. And I just have a hard time believing that he was actually offered that money. Now, there could have been some talk around a dinner table. I think we can get you at $100,000. I think we can get you some money or whatever. I have a real hard time believing. What's crazy, though, JT, in my mind, what's going to really open the can of worms here with all this, what prevents a player from, on game day, an important player on game day 2 hours before, go up to the coach and say, you know what, if you don't give me that money, I'm not going to play today. That's it. To me, this is great. They got to get this NIL thing worked out, the NCAA. I know they're working on it really hard, and they were supposed to have something done this week. It's probably going to be pushed back another month or so, but they got to get that worked out because it is the crazy. It's the wild, wild west, and you can't have that with NIL. You just can't.
Chris, I agree with that, but my only pushback would be, and you're right, you can't do this on game day. Whenever there's a quarterback, it could be UNLV, it could be Toledo, it could be Alabama, before the season starts, before training camp starts where a guy could get hurt, right? Like NFL players, you can get hurt and be gone for the year. That you come to terms on what the player is going to make, and then it's guaranteed, no matter if the player gets injured or not. It's not stipulated on performance. If you play better, we're not going to give you more money. I think eventually it has to get to a point where it's negotiated on, it's a number. But with Allegiant Stadium in this town and this history of this program pretty much never being in the top 25, don't you think this town with all these casinos and multi-millionaires and billionaires should probably have about $100,000 in a budget for a D1 quarterback in years to come?
Well, they should. And what you got to do as they continue to get their NIL, what is it? It's called the Friends of UNILV, those guys. That collective's got to get together. They got to work things. But what you have to do as an agent, as a parent, as a player, you got to get these things in writing. You got to have contracts. You can't have, well, you know, a verbal agreement. Yeah, well, he told me this. We shook hands on this. No, you got to get it down in writing on a contract. They had no contract. But you're right. This guy could have been, let's say Sluka stays and he becomes his hero. They get to the, they're 12-1 on the season. They get into the which would still be difficult to do, but say they get into the playoff, the 12-team playoff. This guy would have been the toast of the town. He could have done anything he wanted. Let me also go back to the agent and the Sluka deal. You don't have to go through an NIL. This agent could have gone over to Cliff Finley or over to any of these car dealerships, Raising Cane's, whatever, and said, hey, I got this hot quarterback in town right now. Everybody's talking about him. Let's get him some. Let's have him sign some autographs prior to the Raiders game on Sunday over at the parking lot. Let's have him sign some autographs after the game on a Saturday night over at a card shop. You could have made a lot of money for this guy. You don't have to go through the NIL deal. If you have a decent agent that can go out and work some stuff for you, this guy would have been phenomenally popular in this town. And when you're talking $100,000, he probably could have made more than that. Yeah. You just never know.
What's going on this weekend? We were texting, it's a big weekend. What's more that's happened, especially with the Golden Knights and hockey getting underway?
Hey, I'm going to the Golden Knights game tonight, JT, as a fan. I'm going to go see this new Utah hockey club. So, yeah, I'm going to go and enjoy the hockey team. They're getting back going here with the preseason. Some new faces. We'll see what they do. You got the Aces on the road in the semifinals taking on the New York Liberty, a team, by the way, they haven't beaten in the regular season this year. They beat them for the championship last, but this year they're going to try to take a game in New York there and come back home, maybe knock them off, and then go on to the championship. So you got that. You got UNLV football tomorrow against Fresno State. It's interesting. We had a couple of the Fresno State coaches talking about this whole UNLV situation, saying, man, this is just the tip of the iceberg. You'll see a lot more of this stuff happening. And then they talked about the backup quarterback, Williams, so that's going to be a fun game tomorrow. I really hope the fans come out and cheer on this team because they are a lot of fun to watch with that go-go offense and what they've done and unbeaten. And now you got one of the best. This will be the best offense that UNLV will have faced so far. I know they're only three games in, but Fresno State is really, really good. So that's going to be good. Then I can't wait to see what the Raiders do now against the Browns, coming off that very disappointing, humbling, and embarrassing loss. What are they going to do for an encore this week, Sunday against the Browns? So I'm excited about this weekend, JT. I know we also had we had Mrs. Biletnikoff, Angela Biletnikoff, to talk about the big Crab Fest. We had her on our shows this week, and so that's going to be – I know you'll be over there, but there's so much fun going on. It's every single week in Las Vegas, JT.
Thank you, Chris. I'll see you at the game on Sunday. I always appreciate you.
You betcha. Thank you.
There he is, the dean of the newsmen, the dean, the authority on news and sports in town. That's why we have him here, and an insider. He's at press conferences. He's there, Chris Matthews, 8 News Now. Yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, national news. Big week in Vegas this week. It is. Devontae Adams isn't playing. Max Crosby isn't playing. And UNLV's quarterback quit Let me repeat. He quit. It could have been over money. You're right. He quit. That's it. You don't have to be, you know, an expert on NIL. You don't have to go, because no one's really an expert on NIL yet. But the kid quit. The kid had an opportunity to play for his team and figure it out. Okay, he's not getting what he thought. Maybe he was promised or not. I don't know. But he quit. And that's not good for sports. You don't want to quit on your team. The guys you lift weights with. And I can tie it into the Raiders here. The Raiders are at a point now. I just saw some video at practice of Tyree Wilson leading the warm-up. I like that. I like Tyree. How do you think Tyree Wilson feels walking around that building going, I was taking number 7 in the first round, and fans are questioning me, and probably some of the people in the building are? I'm going to show up and have a big game. Tell you another player I like a lot, and I got to know him a little bit when we had him on from Costa Mesa, Isaiah Palomal, the safety, right? He's a good, fit, strong guy who's been waiting for an opportunity to play. I thought the Raiders were going to lose Isaiah Palomal the last year or two to another team that wanted to have him to start. So I'm interested to see how he plays. Robert Spillane also is going to have to keep this team together. And that's a good topic. I got about an hour and 15 minutes left, and I want to hear from you. Who do you believe Raider Nation has to have, ready for this, a signature game for the Raiders to win? I'll tell you when I come back, but I want to hear from you. 702-365-9200. Who's the player that has to have a game to remember? Because that's the only way we're going to win this game. Our season ticket holders, we got to have somebody step up and have a career game. Somebody's got to have a career game. Who is it? Who is it? We're brought to you by Boyd Gaming and all their great properties in Vegas. Locals love the Raider Nation and Boyd Gaming.
There it is from Andre James. Gardner looks right. He pumps. Now he looks to the left. Takes a shot. Down the middle of the field. Open Tucker makes the grab at the 30. And he's brought down at the 25-yard line. They've been waiting for Trey Tucker to break loose. And boy, did he ever. That's a pickup of 56 yards.
Trey Tucker is going to have a big game. So that's our topic the rest of the show. Who is going to step up with all the injuries to the Raiders and have a big game? And let's be realistic about it, because I talked about it early in the monologue with Devontae Adams being out and Max Crosby being out. So it's pretty easy to go down the road and say, well, Devontae's out, Jakobi Meyers is going to have a big game. All right, Max is out, well, we're going to see Christian Wilkins have a big game. I get it. But there's got to be a couple other guys that play big in a big spot here. And I think it's going to be very important. Very important to see who can step up in this atmosphere. So if you got a player that you think is ready for prime time, this is prime time. Cleveland's going to have a lot of fans in town today. Man, there's a lot of players out on Cleveland. I mean, I retweeted that earlier today. Let me just get to that quickly on who's out from Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland is absolutely decimated by injuries. So I couldn't believe how many players is going to be out, but this is a massive number. Overall, massive number. Here it is, Ari Mirov. The Browns have ruled out tight end David Njoku, left tackle Jedrick Willis, right tackle Jake Conklin, running back Pierre Strong for Sunday's game, in addition to placing all-pro guard Wyatt Teller on IR, gone for the year. So I just mentioned three offensive linemen, including their all-pro, not Pro Bowler, all-pro out. So they're playing backups on the offensive line. So follow me here. Their offense, if the Raiders had as many offensive linemen out, okay, Thayer Mumford is out. That's DJ Glaze. That's a big spot for him. Miles Garrett's going to kind of want to drift over and test that young man out. But Colt Miller, I want to throw that name out first here in the first hour. What about Colt Miller, a captain, in this game? A little bit more vocal, lot vocal. Kind of like leading the team out of the tunnel. Let's get Colt Miller going in this game. One of the better Raider players over the last 6 or 7 years. He's got to have a big game. Who else is out there? Man, Raider fans are nervous. They're nervous. They're nervous today. I'm dealing with a couple of trolls here on my YouTube feed. There are Raider fans with Raider names thinking they're done. So we're trying to cut through that garbage and get some mojo going. Galvin, in Vegas, what's happening? Give me something good here. What do you got?
First of all, today, Sunday's game is going to be special for me from a personal standpoint. It's going to be the first game that I get to be with my father. So
good for you.
This is going to be our first game that we get to see together. So just from that personal standpoint, that's going to be incredible. But I'm really believing that our run game is going to shine. I believe the rookie, the offensive two rookie offensive linemen, they're going to go in, they're going to shy. And sometimes in life, man, you get hit. You get hit in your face. And sometimes you have to look yourself in the mirror. And we're going to look back on this game. Watch. We're going to look back on the Browns and fans. We're going to look back and we're going to see how this woke us up. Because right now we're in a situation where you don't have time to be scared. You don't got time to be looking at the next person. Raider fans, if you don't believe, just stay away from the stadium. I've been a Raider fan since 89, from L.A. to Oakland, now in Vegas. I live out here right now. I've been out for 3 years. Watch our running game. Watch how these rookies come in. Watch how we bully from the trenches. So I know you said one player. I'm going to say the whole offensive line. Watch how it glues. Watch how Zimmer, watch how he start running. Because right now, everybody's looking at each other in this locker room right now. Everybody's like, okay, it's our time to shine. We don't got Devontae. We don't got Crosby right now. But we have each other. And sometimes in life, like I said, you get hit. So I believe, me personally, I believe our running game is going to start off. And watch, we're going to look at this game, and we're going to all be looking like, wow, man, we can't believe that this one particular game changed our whole dynamics of our season. And all the fake Raider fans, you want to jump back on the wagon when it's going to stay off the wagon, bro. Just stay off the wagon. Because right now, when we go Sunday and I'm having my beverages with my father and we sit in row 200, watch. It's going to be incredible, electric. That's all I got to say.
Great call.
Let's go, Raiders!
Love that call. Love that call. Why? Because it was authentic and real. Authentic and real. And the guy's got tickets, and he doesn't want to go to a loss. You know, he said a lot of things I'm technically air quotes, Jess, not allowed to say. Like, fans, why don't you get lost and quit? Fans, you whining, bleeping quitters, get lost. I'm not allowed to say that. Because I make my money on advertising, ratings, and revenue, and a big stream. So I technically, air quote, can't say that. I want everybody to come to the game and have a good time and have more people listen to the station. So, wink, wink, I can't technically say that. I got to be buttoned up around here, man. Got to be buttoned up. Want all the fans to get along. But, you know, negativity breeds more negativity. But it's a small portion of the fan base, normally off of social media, who don't go to the games, haven't been to games, don't walk up to players, don't look people in the eyes, who are really negative when stuff like this happens. You can make it a positive. You can hope that other players step up and win. And like the caller just said, Calvin, it's a kind of a gravitating moment that changes the season. We can hope for that. Now the players have to go out and perform. Hour number two coming up next on the flagship of the Raiders.